members of the state's budget committee want to cut income taxes by $3.5 billion while also reducing the University of Wisconsin system budget. It's Friday, June 23rd. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning. I'm Hope Kerwin, in for Alex Crow. Coming up, Republican lawmakers are proposing a bill that would target obscene materials in school libraries. And a utility company that serves some western Wisconsinites announced that over half of its electric generation is now carbon-free. We'll take a look at what that could mean for the state's carbon future.
If you've never given before, but you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign it's time to donate. It means that WPR is important to you, and you are important to us. We're listener-supported radio, which means we count on money from people like you to make the programs possible. Make your first-ever contribution today at WPR.org. Thank you.
Lawmakers on the State Budget Writing Committee passed their draft of the state's two-year spending plan last night. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, one of their final proposals was a $3.5 billion income tax cut.
Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee reduced the number of tax brackets and cut taxes across the board, including for the state's wealthiest residents. They say they're delivering on a promise to voters. Democrats, like Kenosha Representative Tip McGuire, said the move squanders Wisconsin's historic surplus.
You had a choice between regular Wisconsinites and rich people, and you chose rich people.
Republicans on the committee also voted to strip $32 million from the UW system budget, targeting jobs associated with diversity, equity, and inclusion. The final budget proposal will next head to the full legislature for approval. That could happen as early as next week. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
An internal investigation into allegations of fraud within the Eau Claire County Human Services Department found no instances of illegal behavior. This follows a two-year criminal investigation by the Eau Claire Sheriff's Office that produced no charges. Milwaukee attorney Mindy Dale was hired by the county. In a presentation to the county board this week, she pushed back against a sheriff's office report alleging human services staff misused taxpayer money. The report mentioned concerns about receipts for musical instruments, a pool, and a Victoria's Secret gift card. Dale explained teens could choose gift cards as incentives through the juvenile justice program.
And they could go to the mall and buy anything they wanted. And this teenage girl wanted to have some nice underwear. Well, my God, that's misappropriation of taxpayer funds. I'm sorry.
The Eau Claire Sheriff's investigation ultimately didn't result in criminal charges. Republican lawmakers are proposing a bill that would target obscene materials in school libraries. Corrine Hess reports the proposal also overturns a law protecting teachers from prosecution for distributing the materials.
Supporters of the bill say it's up to the state to make sure schools aren't pushing obscenity limits. Kyle Davis has two young children in Milwaukee Public Schools. He doesn't think anything in their school libraries would qualify as obscene. He says teachers should have the final say, not lawmakers.
They are highly trained individuals that are doing their job. So they are getting material that has been validated for whatever age groups they are working with, and they shouldn't be prosecuted for doing their job at all.
The country started to see a surge in the effort to ban books in schools and public libraries in 2021. The bill has been referred to the state's education committee. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A utility that serves customers in parts of western and northwest Wisconsin announced this week that over half of its electric generation is now carbon-free. 17 years ago, coal made up the majority of Xcel Energy's company-wide portfolio. Now it's less than a quarter. But that's not the only utility to make strides in recent years. At Alliant Energy, renewables have increased from making up 5% of its energy portfolio in 2005 to 37% in 2022. Tony Palace is with the utility.
Here in Wisconsin, we've got 12 utility-scale solar projects that are planned. Three are already up and running, and we've got nine under construction.
Utilities say they're on pace to hit carbon reduction goals by the end of the decade, but a report last year by state regulators predicted four out of five big utilities would not hit their emissions targets by 2030. Coming up, a former opera singer turned mixologist explores how a cup of coffee can brew in all parts of our days. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
It's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Brad Kohlberg with a story about pushing the boundaries of coffee in Milwaukee.
The culture of coffee can be seen everywhere, from the aisles of your local grocery store to the wide variety of options on the menus at big box chains and small local shops. Wisconsinite Ryan Castellaz is on a quest to raise the bar even further for the drink he's so passionate about. He's the founder of Discourse Coffee in Milwaukee and the author of the new book, The New Art of Coffee, From Morning Cup to Caffeine Cocktail. He says it all started when he was studying abroad to become an opera singer.
And when I was in Italy training, I fell really, really in love with espresso culture, like this ritual of going to the bar every morning, putting my euro coin down on the bar, getting my shot of espresso, taking it down. It became something I fell deeply in love with. And when I moved back to the States, I needed to recreate that culture in my life.
His mom bought him a home espresso machine for his dorm room, and he fell in love with sharing his passion with others.
It wasn't until several years later that I kind of came to this confluence of the storytelling that I loved in music and the craft of making coffee and how those two things kind of came together.
That's when he opened the original Discourse Coffee in Sister Bay. He says that the economy of coffee is about volume and productivity, but he wanted to try something different, work on a smaller scale.
And so I think this smaller niche model that is less focused on the profitability and more focused on barista expression is something that is new and exciting, but something that's a little bit more foreign to the traditional model of running a coffee shop.
He describes the evolution of coffee culture as having three waves. First, Folgers and Maxwell House, convenience. The second is shops like Starbucks.
They kind of split the balance between convenience and quality. It's definitely a step up. You have these creative solutions, but it's still very much a productivity-driven model.
He says the third wave is about transparency, choosing the right bean, the right roast, and letting it shine on its own.
It involves the barista getting out of the way. It involves the barista diving in that coffee to perfection, but not to their own expression, to the expression of the farmer, to the expression of the roaster, to be an expert translator in the intention of the coffee.
Now, with his shop in Milwaukee and his new book, Castellaz wants to power a fourth wave.
With the fourth wave, we give the barista a voice. We say the point of this is barista expression. We've gotten really good at making good coffee. And so in the fourth wave, instead of making great transparent coffee the goal, great transparent coffee is the baseline. And if you think about this like a cocktail bar, right? Like a bartender, what they do, they take amazing spirits from all around the world and then they translate them into their own voice through their cocktails. And so what the fourth wave is it's saying, hey, baristas should have some of that fun too. It's bringing that mentality into the coffee space of saying, hey, we're going to take these amazing transparent coffees from around the world. We're going to serve them to you in a beautiful format, but we're also going to play with them and we're going to express ourselves through them. And that focus on novel engagements with the customer, with the guest, that is the fourth wave.
And in his book, he explores four different moods for coffee concoctions and cocktails.
The moods in the book that we've chosen are comforting, rejuvenating, adventurous, and celebratory.
He thinks we're all emotional drinkers, and he believes coffee has the flexibility to meet us where we're at.
And so in the book, we wanted to make it very, very easy for the reader to take a look at the book and say, hey, what do I feel like right now? Do I feel adventurous? Do I want something that's going to comfort me? And then immediately guide the viewer, the reader, right to that section. We wanted to make this as easy to use, actually use, as possible.
And now he wants to continue to evolve, to deepen the connections that are possible through coffee.
To have a longer format of time with people, to be able to do a tasting menu with somebody where we can really talk to them about all of the thought that goes into these drinks. That, I think, is the next step for us. It's being able to bring people even more deeply into the story of who we are and what we do.
For more on Ryan Castellaz, his coffee shop, and book, visit wisconsinlife.org. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Brad Kohlberg.
Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Hope Kerwin, in for Alex Crow. Our producers are Mallory Chang and John Davis. Catch us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning. And don't forget to subscribe. We'll talk to you again on Monday.